know about you, one day you're going to stand before the judgment seat of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. And Paul says you're going to give an account of everything that is done in the body. In verse number 11 of that same text, Paul says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Once again, just want to welcome each and every one of you that are visiting with us this morning. Those of you that are members of the body of Christ that have come our way, we bid you Godspeed. And then those of you that may not be part of the body of Christ, no accident. You are here because someone is concerned about your soul salvation. So therefore, it's my job, it's my responsibility to tell you what thus saith the Lord. This is Friendship Day. And I don't know about you, I have a friend that sticks closer than my brother. Amen. That friend is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, it's no accident that you're here. Before the foundation of the world, God saw a need to redeem us back to himself. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26, the Bible says, let us make man in our image. In the image he made them, both male and female. And he knew that I needed some help. Gotta get an amen, brother. He knew I needed some help. So he sent me a help me. Contrary to popular belief, it's not another man. Amen, Walls.
Amen.
Contrary to popular belief. And so God made man, and he took a rib, and he made woman. Chapter 2 and verse 26, he made woman, and he's after he created everything, he said it's not only good, but it's very good. He told Adam in the midst of the garden, there's a tree there. Don't touch it. For in the day that you do, you shall surely die. The Bible said he commanded Adam, and Adam told Miss Eve what God said. How do I know? Because when God called them into play, Miss Eve told God said that we should not do that. But as they messed up in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, God saw a need to send somebody to help man back to him. Genesis chapter 3 and round about verse number 15, he prepared the body of Christ to come to take away the sins of the world. John chapter 3 verse 16, we know that by heart, don't we? But do we really? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. That's right, y'all got me going up here. Amen. That's right. Amen. Don't want no cracks. Amen. Don't need no minds. But it's really good to see you this morning. And as we celebrate Friendship Day, I want you to know that the best friend that I found is Jesus Christ. And I know that in the midst of my trials and tribulations, when Sister Harmon don't understand and the kids don't understand, I can cry out, Abba, Father, why? Because I have a relationship with him. Oh, you put me on tape. In a world in which we live in, there are so many changes going on around us where wrong seems to be right, and where right seems to be wrong, and where friendship is not what it should be, and where we have these fair weather friends. You got any of those? You guys, y'all quiet. Don't get quiet on me, because if you get quiet, I think I'm in the right spot. Where friendship, true friendship, used to really mean something. And where in this day that we live in, true friendship requires truth. I better say that again. True friendship requires truth. If you see me in error, and you really say you're my friend, it's your job, it's your responsibility to help me out of my error. Why? Because we are members one of another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and round about verse number 25, Paul says there ought to be no schisms in the body of Christ. Why? Because we all have the same care for one another. We all have the same love for one another. And so those of you that are visiting this morning, it's no accident that you're here. This is all part of God's plan. God planned to redeem man back to himself. In Genesis chapter 6 and round about verse 6 and following, God said, I repent that I ever made man. That's pretty deep. That the God of heaven, after created everything, saw the need to say it repented him, but he prepared the Lord and Savior to take away my sin. That's what motivates me. That's what drives me, because I know one day I'm going to close these eyes. But I told him, don't worry about me, because I have a place not made with hands, eternal in heaven. And somewhere down the line as believers, you have to believe that. And then you start living your life to that. But I want to show you some friends in looking at the Word of God, because the wisest man on the face of the earth, as God prepared Solomon to take over his people, Solomon's prayer was, Lord, give me the wisdom and the knowledge to guide your people. And God said, because you did not ask for riches, I'm going to give you some money to go along with. Boy, you see how God works. I don't know who you serve, but you, when you do things God's way, he takes care of everything else. Amen. The Bible said that Solomon got carried away just like you and I. You know, it's just something about having some power that will cause an individual to lose his mind. They had gotten to the point that they had turned Solomon's eyes away from God himself. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and round about verse number 13, Solomon, after realizing that all the things that he was doing was vanity and vexation of the soul, he said to the people of God, let me tell you the conclusion of the whole matter. Do you want to know why you're here this morning? Oh, you don't? Well, I just thought I'd tell you. You're here this morning, but for one purpose, and that's to do the will of the Father. Amen. I don't know who told you could do your thing. I know we live in an affluent country where the country say you can do whatever you like, but there's going to be a judgment day. And when you stand before that judgment day, the only book I've ever read to tell me where I came from, tell me how to live, and tell me where I'm going. Yeah. If you got another book, let me know. Mm-hmm. The only book I know. And I believe that as God's people, we need to understand something. But Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And so I've learned what my duty is. Yes, my duty is to take care of my family. My duty is to raise my family. My duty is to be nice and kind to everyone else. But I've learned that my duty is to make my calling an election sure. I don't know about you. One day you're going to leave here. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, it is pointed unto man once to die, after death comes the judgment. And I don't know about you, when I stand before his judgment seat, I know what he's going to say. Well, thou good and faithful servant. Does that mean I do everything right? No. But I understand the difference between right and between wrong. And so this day we celebrate Friendship Day to remind us, to encourage us that we have a friend, and that friend is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The wisest man on the face of the earth would write these words. Proverbs chapter 18 and round about verse number 24. He says, a man that has a friend must show himself friendly. Let that sink in. You know, don't you want a friend? Huh? Are you friendly? Depends on the person, huh? Oh, that's not what this text says. The text says a man that has a friend must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that friend is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But see, you can't call him your friend if you don't know him. That's right. Those of you that are visiting this morning, I want to encourage you. Do you really know the God of heaven that sent the very best to die on a cross for you? And I just stopped by this morning to let you know that in order for you to call him your friend, you got to do what he says. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. And Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? How much do you need before you realize that's just not enough? I know we work from sun up to sundown. We are so busy on our jobs. We are so busy getting. And when you retire, you get the gold watch and they put you out to pasture and you think you done something. Not y'all. That's why I talk to the wall, because the wall understands. But I want to encourage you this morning. In order for us to really call Jesus our friend, we got to do what he says. John chapter 15. Very powerful text that has already been quoted, but I want to read it for you. The Bible says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Is that difficult to do? Is it hard to love somebody? Talk to me this morning, church. Wake up. Wake up. Talk to me. It's hard. Why is it hard? Look at that text over there. Because it says the unity of the Spirit, endeavoring to keep the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit comes when an individual get out of the way. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. See, you got to get out of the way. You can't love me until you love God. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, new commandment I give unto you is that you love one another as I have loved you. How did he love me? He died on a cross. Did I deserve that? No. Did you? No. Ungodly world and the very best of heaven took on the sins of the world for you. And you know what he asks? Is that you love your neighbor as yourself. Some people say, well, I don't even like me. Oh, well, you need to see Jesus. Amen. But it's important to understand that in order for us to really call Jesus our friend, we got to understand what it's all about. The Bible said he left the very riches of heaven, died on the cross, that you and I, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, that you and I might be the righteousness of God. And I don't take that lightly, church, that God could look down the cord of time and send his son for me. Oh, yes, I got some sin in the background that has been washed away. That's right. And if he forgives me, guess what? I forgave myself. You can do all the digging you like because it just don't matter anymore. But Jesus goes on to say, greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friend. Jesus says, you are my friend. If you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth call you not servant, for a servant know not what his Lord does. But I call you friend, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Verse 16 is very powerful because Jesus says in this text, you have not chosen me. You think God needs you? Huh? You might look good. You might smell good. You might dress good. You might have all the cares of this world. God doesn't need you. He says, I can make the rocks praise me. You need God. He said, you didn't choose me. I chosen you. Matthew chapter 9 and round about verse number 26. The Bible says Jesus looked out over the whole world. Do you see a problem in our world today? Huh? You don't? Well, I understand you might be like the horse that put them blinders on. They put hoods on them so they don't see nothing, don't they? How many of us got it? Never mind. Let me move on. Ye are my friend if you do whatever I command you. He says in verse number 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask in my Father's name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Jesus says, greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friend. John chapter 13 and verse 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you is that you love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. How? By the love we have for one another. Do we need some love in our world? Yes, we need some love that puts on some blinders. That I love you in spite of you. That I can get along with you in spite of some of the things that I see in you. Today, as we celebrate this Friendship Day, I want to encourage each and every one of us to stop and think about, is Jesus really my friend? Because if he's really my friend, there is not a person in the world I cannot get along with. Why? Because he came and died on a cross to reconcile me back to his Father. The biggest problem in our world today is that we've put Jesus in a box and we only take him out when we need him. Some of us put him in a glass jar and rub him every now and then when we need him. But it's amazing that when you get flat on your back and you staring in his face, boy, you want him to pour out everything on you. And then you want to give him the very little. The problem with our world today is what the prophet said, the prophet of old. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I want to show you our problem in the world today is that we've misplaced God with everything else. Boys with toys. You ever heard that slogan? How important it is to have everything. But the problem with our world is the same thing that happened to Israel. Solomon, after he has built the temple, after he has built the house of the Lord, Solomon, God appears to Solomon, and he has these words to say to Solomon and to his people. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and round about verse number 12, the Bible says, "And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayers and have chosen this place to be myself, for myself, a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I see send pestilence among my people." God here is trying to show Israel the problem with the world is not the world. It's the folks that in the world. So he tells the prophet that I have something to say to my people. As things are going on, as the trials and tribulations are faced in your everyday life, who do you turn to? I don't know about you. I've learned to turn to God, because there's some things that Sister Harmon just don't understand, and you just don't understand. And so the prophet here, as God speaks to Solomon, God says, if I shut up the windows of heaven from rain. Think about it. We got some stuff going on in our world. Climate change, which is a joke. No, let me leave that alone. I couldn't resist that. But in this text here, God speaks to Solomon because God's people are not listening. Look at the world we live in. 150 years ago, America was built on God. Amen, walls. It was built on God. It was built on putting him first and foremost. I'm not that old, but I can remember Saturday. It wasn't no stores open. I got a witness on somebody. And on the first day of the week, you either went to church, you didn't go out there washing your car, getting ready for Monday morning. And there was discipline. What happened? Well, we put God in the box. And now we use these little funny things to entertain it. Y'all quiet. I know I'm on the right nerve. But we're no different than the people of old. Everything takes precedent in our life, first and foremost, but God. So God tells the prophet, I got some words to say to my people. And I want you to hear this. Verse number 14, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal the land. I believe the biggest problem in America today is God is not where he belongs in our everyday life. And so for those of you that are visiting, you're here this morning to learn what God requires of you. God sent Jesus to die on the cross. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you believe what I've said this morning? John chapter 20 and verse number 30, many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples. They're not written in the book, but these are written that you might believe. God has a plan to redeem man back to himself. And that plan is that you hear the word, you believe it, you repent, you confess, and it's in that watery grave of baptism that he takes away all of your sins and he adds you to the body of Christ. And in conclusion, it's good to have you this morning. I might have stepped on your toes, but that's all right. That was the Lord speaking to you, trying to get us to see that if we want to change the world in which we live in, we got to first and foremost change. As I draw this to a conclusion, there's a song by Michael Jackson that says, heal the world, make it a better place. And the only way you can make it a better place is that every one of us that have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, when we heal ourselves, we'll heal the world in which we live in. And I'm learning the only way you do that is you got to surrender your will. You got to understand that God has placed you in the body of Christ as it pleased him. I do what I do not because of you. Ephesians chapter 4 and round about verse number 11. He said some in the church, apostles, teachers, preachers, for what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. My job is to remind you, to encourage you, to build you up, but at the same time let you know, if you don't do what he says, you're going to stand before his judgment seat and you're going to hear these words, depart. It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you. Hope and pray I've said something this morning just to encourage your heart. Friendship Day. We're going to have a good time in the Lord. And it's good to see each and every one. Y'all can smile. I'm finished. Just want to encourage you as we celebrate with one another. Those of you that are visiting, it's really good to have you in our midst. If you have any questions or any comments, please let us know. Our job is to speak where the Bible speaks, and our job is to be silent where it's silent. And I hope and pray I've just said something just to encourage your heart. You know, what a friend we have in Jesus. And you know what? And in Jesus Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. We're all one. And that's what this text is about. Unity of the Spirit means that we have obeyed from the heart the gospel and the blood of Jesus Christ. See, everybody puts, what's that ancestry? My ancestry goes right here. When I contacted the blood of Jesus Christ, it's in that blood that frees me from all of my sins. If you're here this morning, you stand in need, if you just need some prayer, if you stand in need of obeying the gospel, the opportunity is yours as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.